Welcome to the Boost VC Podcast, your weekly dose of fun, informative interviews with incredible guests from the Boost VC Network. We'll dig into the latest topics around venture capital, startups, and emerging technologies. I'm your host, Adam Draper, founder and managing director of Boost VC, and a fourth-generation venture capitalist. Are you ready to rock? All right. We're here with Perianne Boring, who is the founder and CEO.
President.
You're not allowed to be a CEO.
I'm CEO too.
You're all of the above of the Chamber of Digital Commerce. Every single person in the crypto space is indebted eternally to Perianne for all the work that she has done on our behalf in DC and helping lobby and get us somewhere in the process. So welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, it's great to have you. And it's great that this event is going on so that I can pull awesome people into this room and just like interview. Yeah. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the Chamber of Digital Commerce and what your initiative has done over the last, it's been 4 years.
Yeah. So we launched in July of 2014. So we'll be turning 4 years old this summer. The Chamber of Digital Commerce is a trade association. We're a nonprofit organization, and we represent companies in the blockchain technology space. And our mission is to promote the acceptance and use of digital assets and blockchain-based technologies. And we do that through working closely with government, policymakers, and the industry.
And so the answer to like, whenever anyone asks me about regulation in crypto, you would have a better answer than me.
Well, hopefully, depending on what the question is, we don't give legal advice, but we're fighting for a better regulatory framework so innovation can thrive in this country. But for companies who have legal questions or want to understand if what they're doing fits within the confines of the laws, they'd have to hire a lawyer.
Mostly what I'm talking about, when, yes.
This is not legal advice.
This is completely legal advice is what I just heard you say. This is legal advice with Perianne Boring on the Boost VC podcast. It is not.
We'll be sending a cease and desist.
Yeah. She's going to make sure to caveat that like, she's going to be like, hey, can you cut out that part where you said that this was legal advice?
So we very much see that regulation is one of the biggest risks to the adoption of blockchain technology. As someone, living in DC and been in there my entire career, I have seen firsthand how government with a stroke of a pen can either destroy or just completely change the direction of an ecosystem. And blockchain being so new and nascent, but also very technical, sometimes it's hard to understand or communicate. There's a lot of misinformation,
misunderstanding. What brought you personally into this space?
So I formerly was working on Capitol Hill. I worked for a member of the Financial Services Committee. I was briefed on the topic of Bitcoin in one of my many meetings that I took. And from the moment I heard that there was this digital currency that was not owned or controlled by the government or a corporation, that was just a fascinating concept. And I decided, I'm going to go look
that
up.
So you were in the government.
I was working
in Congress. Thinking, this is fascinating.
This is interesting stuff. And that turned into the rabbit hole that we've all gone down. And just over the years, the more I learned, the more I wanted to learn. And I just came to the realization that this is the most interesting, most important thing I'm going to see in my lifetime. And I've got to work in this industry. And so I had to spend a little bit of time because that was early days. And most people in this space were cryptologists, computer scientists, developers. So I had to think about, well, what do I have to offer this community? And, regulation and policy is something I was passionate about. And there was a big need for that.
You found your spot. That's so fascinating. I love that because I feel that I have a lot of friends who are non-technical friends and they don't know how to get into the crypto space, even though it's the thing that everyone wants to get into right now. But 18 months ago, no one wanted to touch it with a like long pole. And just now, I feel like a lot of these token projects, the most important thing for them to get is like communications, like Community Builder or one of those things.
Communications is a big issue too.
You found your niche, which is fascinating. Sorry, that's an aside. Smart way of thinking about it.
But it was very different, right? So in 2013, pretty much the only people in crypto were basically crypto anarchists. It was a lot of people who were doing this because they wanted to do something very different. And so for me to come out and say, hey guys, we need an association to go work with government, that was a really hard sell to make. And so the fact that we were actually able to get through that.
I was one of the people you were trying to sell.
Yeah, you told me I could have a bunk bed upstairs. I was like, I don't know if that's going to work, but
that's not helpful, Adam. you could be a multi-citied thing. That's what I, that does sound like things I've advised to people. Okay, so how do you track progress?
Well, we've made a lot of progress. When we first started, pretty much the only thing in Washington that people knew about Bitcoin is that people were buying illegal drugs with it online through Silk Road. Because Silk Road was a pretty high-profile scandal, a pretty big black eye. So we went from that, and what came out of that was we had multiple congressional hearings where they were scrutinizing the dangers of Bitcoin. There were different agencies like the FTC and the SEC also were issuing warnings about this technology. Senator Joe Manchin called for a ban on Bitcoin. So we went from that environment, and in less than 4 years, where we are today, it's drastically different. We've been able to accomplish and win over a handful of very important champions in Washington. So the chairman of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, Chris Giancarlo, he's one of our biggest advocates and champions in Washington, D.C. He has said that blockchain technology is in the national interest of the United States of America. We now have a Congressional Blockchain Caucus, so we have a whole group of members of Congress who have gone on record saying we're going to support and promote blockchain
that,
in Congress.
That sounds important.
The dialogue in D.C. has gone from what is this weird thing to having people who are advocating within the system, and that's really important. It's a start. We still have a lot of work to do, but the fact that we have people at the highest levels of government advocating within the system, it has made a very big difference.
That's super exciting that anyone in the government is making decisions on pro or con. I've been talking at a bunch of conferences, but also different countries. And what you realize is that conversation that you're having and we're having now-ish, like that's happening everywhere. And that's how crazy powerful this technology is. It's been
reached the highest levels of government and power. So in 2016, we had the opportunity to meet with the chairwoman of the Fed, Janet Yellen. And just a year before that, she testified in front of Congress. Senator Joe Manchin, the guy who called for a ban on Bitcoin, asked her in her congressional hearing, can you ban this? Asking him what she could do. And her response to him was, we have no jurisdiction over Bitcoin. That was it. She just shut the conversation down, basically said, next, not touching that.
Yeah.
So we went from that. That was the first statement the Federal Reserve ever had around Bitcoin or blockchain. And then about a year later, her next public statement was, this is an important technology, and we should be doing every single thing we can to learn as much as we can about it. So even just through engaging with central banks, you've also seen a complete 180 from the original kind of Bitcoin dialogue to being able to understand the broader benefits of blockchain technology and how that can be a powerful tool for a lot of different areas of business and the markets.
So in a lot of ways, 3 years ago, everyone was saying bad Bitcoin, good blockchain. Is that still the conversation that fits in the government conversations?
I think the conversation is coming back around. I mean, Bitcoin's reputation was tarnished through Mt. Gox and Silk Road.
All the bad things.
You know, and understandably, regulated financial institutions were like, yeah, you know, we're regulated and we have regulators to report to. We're not really sure if we should be talking about that. Mm-hmm. So there's some hesitancy there. But now, especially last year when we saw Bitcoin futures from the CME and SIBO and others, it's come back around. And crypto is no longer a dirty word in D.C. It's now that they're seeing that there's a huge amount of potential in digital currencies, it's starting to come back.
Because it's tax season, I just thought I'd ask a couple tax questions. Do you feel that there's any solid rules or guidelines that will be coming out about taxes?
So I'll tell you the tax story. So okay, I've been watching this space from the beginning. And so for those who are either new to crypto or this is their first year having to file and disclose their crypto.
But this is not legal advice.
Or tax advice.
Just prefacing.
So the first government entity to issue a piece of guidance or statement around Bitcoin and virtual currencies was FinCEN. That's who regulates money laundering. And in 2013, they issued guidance and it said, we're going to regulate convertible virtual currencies as currency. And that's where we got the money transmitter regime. So for exchanges, companies like Coinbase, they have to get these money transmitter licenses
state by state.
Every single state that they have customers in. Not great. It's not a great solution. But so that's how FinCEN has decided to regulate this. Now, IRS is also a division within Treasury. So you have the Treasury Department, FinCEN is underneath that, as is IRS. So just a few months after FinCEN put out their guidance saying this is going to be treated as currency. IRS says, we're going to tax it as property.
I remember.
And it was a little confusing for those who were in the space because, you know, was the left hand talking to the right or vice versa? None of that has been answered yet. So they said, you know, we're going to tax this as property, which means that every single transaction is subject to either capital gains and losses and the associated reporting requirements. So those of you who are using crypto and who have been through this with your accountant, you know how cruel of a system it is to subject all of us to those types of reporting requirements. It makes it basically impossible to be used as a medium of exchange because every single transaction you have to log and calculate, and it's just an administrative nightmare. So the IRS, when they put out that guidance, they opened it up for comment and they took comments from the public. They said, send us your questions. And
I remember that. I was like,
lots of questions.
I just said, hey, this is really nice. Like, this is good that they're doing this. Like, they're trying to receive information.
But they didn't but the problem is they collected questions, but then they didn't answer any, not even one. I mean, so in 2018,
so it was a little,
they still haven't answered any of the questions.
It was a little like, hey, we're listening. Not really.
Well, so the IRS's inspector general issued a report in 2016. It was a 28-page report basically criticizing their virtual currency program, saying you have not coordinated with any of the other agencies, and there's a lot of questions in a lot of areas where it's not clear what people are supposed to do. No one understands how to comply. Yeah, not even the inspector general.
There's still the question of the 1031 thing, or like-in-kind exchange.
There's so many questions. So, yeah. I mean, okay, so if you're supposed to pay capital gains, what exchange rate are you supposed to use? Because there is no common exchange rate in crypto.
Yeah.
That's a question they haven't answered. What about mining? Is that considered a taxable event? We don't know. They didn't answer the question. I mean, there's a lot of areas where we don't know how to comply.
Yeah, it's like we're all trying to do our best, honestly. And
people want to be compliant, but if they don't have the guidelines to do so.
And so we're like overpaying. I feel like most people are overpaying their crypto. Maybe that's just me overpaying crypto.
A lot of people
taxes.
Do just to make sure because they don't want to get audited. So they want to make sure they're paying. They're doing everything they're
Completely.
Supposed to be doing. Just ensure that they are compliant citizens. So this inspector general report came out saying, you know, there's a lot of questions you didn't answer. And so instead of answering those questions, IRS had the opportunity to clarify what was going on. Instead, what they did was they issued the John Doe summons on Coinbase, requesting all of the records of their customers. Basically, they had this idea that no one is compliant and therefore we need to subpoena everybody's information from Coinbase, which was just absurd. And so there's been four members of Congress, some are in very high ranking positions, who have sent letters to the IRS saying this is, you know, out of control, very upset with the way IRS has handled this. And so we've now seen that summons being narrowed. It's been narrowed quite a bit since the original, which is good because they've now backtracked. So what we have done at the chamber is, you know, once that John Doe summons came out, we pretty much just said, okay, enough is enough, because now they're launching enforcement actions and that has much greater consequences than just not really fully understanding the tax implications. So we've, over the course of the past year, put together a very comprehensive tax strategy and policy in working with our 160 members. And we've also engaged all sorts of tax experts, people who have been practicing in tax long before crypto even existed. We worked with some former people at the IRS. We also partnered with other organizations like Heritage and Cato and Americans for Tax Reform. And we came up with a new tax policy proposal for virtual currencies. And what we're advocating for is that virtual currencies should be treated as an alternative to the US dollar and taxed the exact same way we tax the US dollar, which means it would not be subjected to the capital gains or investment income tax or the reporting requirements that come with that. In other words, we believe this should be an alternative to the US dollar. And if it was taxed that way, then it would be able to be used as a medium of exchange. So that's what we're fighting for, and that's what we're working towards. And if that sounds good to you, then you're welcome to join our efforts at the chamber. But we're pretty optimistic because we believe this is the right way to do it. And we've been able to bring about a community and a coalition of other people and organizations and associations that agree with that. And that's something I think is important, and it's definitely worth fighting for.
And I think that's a good segue for the lightning round. If you're okay with the lightning.
Whatever that is.
Well, yeah, exactly. The lightning round.
All right.
All right. If you had a movie made about your life story, who would you have play you?
Who would play me? I don't know. Like a celebrity or...
Could be anyone. It could be your friend.
I'd have my little brother's dog play me. My little brother has a dog named Kaya, and she was a rescue from the pound, and she's blonde. She's a Australian husky mix, and she's just adorable, and she's really sweet. And I could just see her walking the halls of Congress being, you know, super awesome and doing a good job representing.
I would watch that movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's like that Chihuahua movie. Except the dog goes to Congress and makes Bitcoin work. I love it. Pizza or hamburgers?
So I am vegan. So either vegan would be great.
Okay. Vegan pizza or vegan hamburgers?
Vegan pizza for sure.
Yeah, I think so too. Have you had the Impossible Burger?
I have had the Impossible Burger. Actually, I went to order it at a restaurant that's not a vegan restaurant. They just happened to have the Impossible Burger.
It's a marketing
thing. And they bring it to
me.
I was like, this thing looks really like, I'm like, are you sure this is the Impossible Burger? And the lady's like, oh crap, no, it's not. She grabs it. I'm like, I wonder how often that actually happens.
Oh yeah.
Because it does look like a real burger.
It does look like a real burger. It doesn't have the same texture though.
I forgot what the texture of real meat is at this
point. So it could be for you. It's the closest. It's sort of like a gateway to getting people to eat burgers again. If you could have one superpower, what would that superpower be?
So I would like to have an internal lie detector in my line of work where I'm having to meet with a lot of people and a lot of stakeholders. It'd be great to know if they were telling the truth or not.
BS meter. Whee! Yeah. Would you want it to have a sound?
No, because then they would know that I had the superpower, right? It's more of a...
You, like every time you detect a lie, you have to make a sound like boom. That would be the worst. Okay. What's your favorite board game?
Monopoly.
It's an amazing board game. I was raised on Monopoly and Risk. What is your definition of success?
Happiness. When you have achieved everything that you want and you're truly happy and you're satisfied, that's success. And it's a personal thing.
Perfect. Thank you for being on the Boost VC podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning in during your busy day to learn about sci-fi technologies. For more info on what we do, check out our website at www.boost.vc or give us a follow on Twitter and Facebook at BoostVC. A big thank you to Maddie Callender, Coy Lee, and Ben Lavelle for their support in creating and producing this podcast. A musical thank you to Melodrive and their AI composer for our amazing intro and outro songs. If you need music for your digital content, check them out at melodrive.com. Lastly, thanks to Tim Hollowell with the Podcast Group in Washington, who did an incredible job mixing this audio. Boost VC is all about helping amazing sci-fi tech succeed. If you have an idea you think we should hear, get in touch with us at boost.vc/contact. And make sure to sign up to get notified when applications open for the next Accelerator Tribe. Also, we love to hear from our listeners. So rate us and drop us a comment on whatever streaming service you use. We would love to hear feedback. That's it for this week, and unfortunately, we don't have enough time for Mark Zuckerberg. But be sure to tune in next week when he's available. This is Adam Draper signing off. Pew, pew, pew.